Lime, duh.
Yes, this is microwave coffee. I added oat milk to hot coffee, which making it cooler, then had to reheat it using the microwave oven. This is love content, that for you. Baby. This is content, baby. This is content. A lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. And then in a way, not a lot to talk about. You know what I mean? We're hitting the seasons. The holiday time. Things are winding down. People want to yawn. You know what I'm saying? People want to yawn. But the main thing we need to ask, I mean, we have a lot of wrestling action to talk about. There's a lot to say. I went to a live show I'd like to talk about. But the main thing we need to know about is Nick Tulo's here, and he went to Hamilton. Tell us everything. Yeah. Tell us everything about Hamilton, Tulo.
What an experience. I mean, wow. You know, it's interesting. It's tough when you watch. I think we already talked about this.
Tell the folks about Hamilton. All right, well, we're moving on from Hamilton. This is the Comedians of Hamilton. Yo, Phil, smooth operator in the house. Phil,
what's up?
Why is Tulo so much louder than I am? Do we need to work on this?
He's more Long Island than you. That's why.
Oh, okay, that's it. It's not a technical thing?
No. It's just regional.
He's more Long Island. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know. He's just always louder than you.
Okay, cool.
I put my microphone down a little bit more.
Okay, good. Good.
Well, Hamilton was great.
Okay, great. Love that. All right, you know what? Let's just all right, okay. Can I talk about Spider-Man without any spoilers, or are people going to be upset? All right, no spoilers, okay?
No spoilers.
I won't spoil anything about Spider-Man.
You saw it.
Here's what I'm going to say, okay? I saw it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw.
Okay. No spoilers, I promise. Here's what I'm going to say. I told myself I'm done with these Marvel movies. Okay, I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's enough. It's enough with these Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And all you fucks out there were like, 12 out of 10, best shit I ever saw, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's like, it's the best thing ever. And they're like, you got to go quick because all the spoilers. You know what I mean? Let me tell you. I'm back to being done with the Marvel movies. Now, not that I didn't like it. It's not that I didn't like the movie. The movie was totally fine. But it didn't do enough. Like, I still had the same feeling of, like, I'm done with this. You know what I mean? Like, I still was like.
Now, do you think this feeling is related to how you feel about Johnny Gargano? Do you think it has less to do with cosplay, but more to how you have to do with these movies?
It was once Gargano wore all of the superheroes and retired.
That
was
too much.
I was officially done with Marvel. It's a direct correlation to Johnny Gargano's gear, you know?
He I don't think there's a bigger fuck you to Dan Black than not just cosplay, but putting all your cosplay outfits into one. And be like, all right, I'm out of here. Just one last time.
To be honest to Johnny Gargano. I am a Gargano mark. I really like Gargano. I mean, when I say he's one of my guys, I don't think so. I don't think he's one of my guys.
You know Gargano versus Danielson would tear the house down. You know it would.
He's a guy who's like been on the precipice of being one of my guys and then goes back, but ultimately not one of my guys. But that's not – being not one of your guys, I have to always remember for the new listeners and blah, blah, blah. It's like – like Adam Cole, I'm like a big fan of Adam Cole. Like I think he's a big talent. You know what I mean? He's just not one of my guys. It's like one of my, but the Ultimate Warrior and Goldberg are two of my major guys. Like it has nothing to do with. Sometimes it's not even about talent.
Did you see this shirt that Gargano has on Pro Wrestling Tees now?
Oh my god, it's like pathetic. That's like pathetic. That is so sad. That is so sad.
Thank you, Phil. I'm so glad you did that.
Like, you're trying to create a brand for yourself, and your brand is that you steal Marvel logos and write your name. Like, that is terrible.
Pretty good brand. Not going to lie.
Now,
I mean,
look, it makes legit money. No, that's John Cena actually as a superhero.
I love how it is in the scope of an actual John Cena shirt, though. Like, this is like a John Cena shirt, but he's Peacemaker.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love that for you. what can I say? But what I'm saying is that it's
all you gotta do is mention Johnny Gargano and it really throws Dan off his mind.
Yeah, it's you wish that's what could throw me off. Gargano, what was it? Oh, back to the Spider-Man movie. Okay, stop. Yeah, you're right. Don't talk about Gargano to me. I don't need the Gargano detour today. Okay. Love Johnny Gargano. I feel sad for him that he thinks dressing like Marvel is a gimmick. You know, that's all I'm saying. Johnny Wrestling is a great gimmick, but it's like, yo, No Way Home. I got to jump on that. But I guess if it sells T-shirts, it sells T-shirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what can you say? Okay.
A bunch of marks bought that fucking thing for sure.
Saw the Spider-Man movie. No spoilers again. I was just, again, like, you know, I'm kind of done with this. I have a couple of observations about these Marvel movies, which is one thing in the Marvel movies is that every joke is acknowledging that the whole thing's kind of stupid, you know? Like, every joke is just like, yeah, he, you know, he's a big fucking elephant, you know? That's a non-spoiler example of a joke. You know, it's like,
well done. Yeah,
right? Right? There's no elephants in the movie, you know? It's always just like, yup. Doctor Strange, I guess he's a wizard. I don't know, right? Like, every joke is like, man, I know. Isn't this so ridiculous? And I like in Batman, they kind of just lean into it a little more, which is why I like Batman more. But okay, that's fine. That's another thing. Here's my other observation. What goes on in this movie, I think if you're a wrestling fan, you won't mark out as hard for what goes on in this movie. If you're a wrestling fan, because when it happens in wrestling, it's so much cooler and realer. Like, the gimmick of this movie, and I won't say, and it is a gimmick movie, okay? It's a gimmick of a movie. The gimmick of the movie is something that happens in wrestling all the time, and it's so much realer in wrestling that, like, we're used to the double pop, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I have to choose my words wisely, but do you see what I mean, Tula?
I do.
There's an actual term for what goes on in wrestling right now. That is exactly it. And it's so much cooler than what they do in this movie. Now, I can't really say much more.
No, that's it.
I can't really say much more because I don't want to spoil it. Phil, did you understand what I did there?
Yeah, I also like how you said, can we stop talking about a wrestling topic and get back to Spider-Man on the wrestling podcast?
I think the marks, like, so in that way, you'll pop for it because you're a wrestling mark, but you will be like, oh, I've had this feeling all the time in wrestling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, you know? So I guess what I'm saying is I pop harder for the shit that went down at all out, you know what I mean? than what happened at No Way Home. Okay?
Hey, you like what you like, man.
Okay. Good movies is good though, worth seeing. Like, I'm not saying it's movie. Definitely an excellent movie. It was having a good time. I'm just more excited for this Pattinson Batman, folks.
That's gonna be dope.
That will be dope, baby. So, patreon.com/comedianswrestling, get access to bonus episodes post Dynamite. We talk post Dynamite and also support the pod. We do this on our own grassroots, baby. Let's see.
Confession.
What?
I have a confession.
What is it?
I watched SmackDown this week.
Yo, so I have some stuff. Let's jump into SmackDown, but I want to say we'll have an episode next week, but then there probably won't be one. I'll be in Hawaii, so we'll take 1 week off the week of the first week of
going to the mainland?
January. I'm heading over to Hawaii. Yes.
The mainland.
The Shebs is mainland, my not mainland, my off land, my, what do you call it?
Your second Long Island.
All right, what were you going to say? Let's jump into SmackDown because there's a huge thing that happened on SmackDown, which I saw. And I saw it when I was in line at GCW on the phone. Yeah.
Which was, what was your moment? What moment did you see? Because
Heyman. Oh, Roman.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, but here's the thing about that whole storyline is like, what took so long for them to get there? It's like, you knew he was working with Brock the whole time. Like, I didn't understand, like, is it vulnerability or like Roman, like, keeping him along this entire time? Like, you knew he was working with Brock, like, the whole time. Like,
right.
I don't get it, but I do appreciate it. I think it's great. I think is Brock the biggest he's ever been in his whole entire life, or do overalls just do that to a man?
Brock is massive right now. He's kind of like a like sloppy massive, I think.
Like, you know? And he's making Roman look small. Is that possible? Like in that sequence, he easily lifted Roman up and threw him twice.
Yeah, I mean, Brock is like a monster right now, definitely. But he's not like steel like he used to be when he was like 20. Like when you see
he's a little rough lift around the edges.
Yeah. Know? But like Farmer Brock is no joke. You know. But yeah,
this might be my favorite version of Brock of all time.
It's very fun. I mean, so we're going to have a Heyman Brock face team, right?
I guess, yeah. Which is very interesting. And I'm here for it.
Do you think that Brock was like, I don't want to, like, give me Heyman back because I don't want to talk anymore?
Yeah, like, Brock.
He's like, it's too much work. I don't want to do all this work, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, Roman fired Heyman. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like we're getting Roman Brock again at day one, right? So, right?
Yeah, is that actually, I mean, I'm assuming it's booked. Actually it's on booked. New Year's Day, right?
It's on that Saturday, I think.
Saturday. Interesting.
It's Saturday the 1st, yeah.
So much wrestling going on.
Yeah, and it's Brock Roman again. But, it's the Brock-Roman feud is so interesting because it's like, It is the feud of WWE for the past like 10 years now, right?
Yeah.
It's not a feud that people really that it's not a feud that you really like buy at I mean, all. Like it's not,
I'm into it. I mean, I so watched SmackDown this so week and I was like it doesn't this is pretty have, cool.
I'm into it as well, but I'm into it for a weird reason. It's because it feels like the only matchup. Like, it's like when you really look at the landscape of how these wrestlers are booked, it's just like you always – I get it. They back themselves into a booking corner of having to always resort to Brock Roman. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I think I sent like the gauntlet match that's going to be going on, and it's like 12-man gauntlet match, and you look at it for like a number one contender to face whoever the winner is, right? And you're just like, I don't know. This is kind of weird. Yeah, like there's only one way to go right now, and it's Brock and Roman forever.
Right, Brock Roman. You have Brock. Yeah, I mean, right. You Brock Roman, but Roman is Brock gonna win a title back? I'm trying to think. Like, could Brock actually, like, is he around long enough to be the champ again? It's just like. Someone has to dethrone Roman. They have to start making some fucking stars over there, no?
Yeah, I just don't. But then you're just like, going right back.
Who would it be, Drew or Seth, right?
But you're going right back to... If Brock was to win, then you're going right back to Brock versus Roman at WrestleMania. You have to. Unless whoever wins the Royal Rumble. But you know they'll end up defaulting the Royal Rumble winner to pick whoever's the champion at Raw.
Right.
Which is Big E now.
Now, is there any talk about this Roman Rock match happening at Mania?
I don't think it's happening.
There's talk about maybe doing it next year in
which makes
LA,
sense.
Right?
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
So here's the thing: what is the Mania match for a Roman? It's like either the only ones you have are Seth, I think, that like people would get actually excited for is mm-hmm. Seth. That or like I guess Brock again, but I just don't think that's gonna be what it is. So they're really in an interesting spot when it comes to like drawing people in for this Mania, because I feel like WWE they may not need it in terms of actual like stats and numbers, which I don't focus on, but in terms of like gaining the attention of the Smarks, right? They need. This Mania to fucking count. The point we're making on the bonus pod is that Cody, I would pop more for Cody Roman than Roman Rock. Yeah. You know? Which is what an interesting state of affairs for wrestling when you care more about these companies colliding than just bringing back like a huge star like The Rock. Like if they've already pulled the card of bringing Cena. I mean, Taker can't wrestle anymore. You know, it's a interesting spot for them.
Yeah, like I'm honestly sitting here and thinking, okay, I watched SmackDown. What was something cool that happened? And I don't even remember. I can't even remember anything that happened. Right.
Right.
Yo, and like I remember that end sequence because I was really into it. I thought it was super dope. But like I'm trying to remember what else happened on that show. I think Sasha, I think Toni Storm pinned Charlotte.
Yeah, Toni Storm had a big, I think it was Toni Storm and Sasha were a team.
They just do this weird thing. Like, oh, New Day versus Usos was dope. But yeah, like, why are they having that match? Like, I just don't, they do this weird thing is that they like have to have these, they have to have the person, the team that's the champion or whatever, whoever's the champion, wrestle right. their opponent before the it matters. Like,
right.
It's just such weird booking. It's like, so when it get, by the time it gets to that actual match, you're like, well, I feel like I've seen this two or three times already, you know, yeah. like, and after the, it ends, like Liv Morgan's getting another title shot. Like, well, you lost. So why are you back in the picture again? And then you're going to see them wrestle before day one. And then, you know, like, it's just weird. It's just weird how they do it. I don't, it doesn't get you invested, but like, you're never going to see Brock wrestle before his match. That's maybe the cool part about Brock, you know?
I'm really thinking about Mania for a second. Maybe if you had like a couple of swerve things that could happen, which is like you could have AJ win the Rumble, Shaley. Because like AJ Roman, I think, is a great Mania main event, no? Like I would be into that. Right? Like we've seen that match before, but we haven't seen it in a long time. And AJ's been laying low with this tag stuff, right? So that's potential, you know. And then like McIntyre's in a Jabron zone, you know. And like, you know, anyway.
Yeah, whatever. I mean McIntyre's. Oh, that's something that happened on SmackDown. McIntyre's pulling swords out of desks. That yeah, you know, Corbin apparently Corbin and Mad Cat Moss is his name. I think.
Yeah. They got a day one match.
Drew
McIntyre's wrestling that guy.
They took the desk from last week's SmackDown and flew it to wherever they were this week, and then they couldn't get the sword out. But Drew McIntyre's got the power to take the sword out. I mean, we're telling like fairy tale stories at this point. Yeah, like
you love to see it, folks. All right, whatever. Fuck it. We'll see what happens over at WWE. I don't know. This is, you know, they might even just go Lashley Roman. Like, who the fuck really knows? I'm expecting to be disappointed. But I want to parlay that into a conversation that was being had on the Facebook group that also ties into my indie experience. So I went to see GCW on Friday night. And here in Los Angeles, California, at the Ukrainian Cultural Center.
Great venue. Incredible venue.
It looks really cool on TV, probably, right? It's kind of like it looks get decorated like Ukrainian, like, you know.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
it's like kind of like gold and like a light blue. Yeah, it looks very cool. It's a very unique venue. It's fun and it's fun energy in there. So the conversation that was being had was like, who was kind of the heel of the year, you know? And the conversation was, oh, is it Roman or Kenny, you know? And the point being brought up was Cardona. A lot of people were agreeing Cardona as the heel of the year, you know? And if I had to think about it, I do think that I'm comfortable giving him that. I think he did some of the most interesting shit in 2021 in terms of
I think it's between him and MJF, right?
Oh yeah, and MJF. Sorry, I didn't say MJF. I meant to say MJF. And in terms of just trolling the indies the way that he did, Matt Cardona, and to see it at GCW in person, he was the absolute like star of the show, you know. He was getting such a reaction. They fucking hate him there, you know.
Give the kids middle fingers, like.
Yeah. They hate him there, and him and Chelsea look like a fucking $1 million, you know? And, you got to give Cardona props. I always do. What he really, like, came out of WWE and just came out fucking swinging. He's such a mark. He's such a hard worker.
He's all over the place, too, right now. NWA.
Yeah. He works his ass off. He's so fucking jacked. And That's the thing about Cardona. Like, I know, you know, I'm clearly like a body guy. Everybody knows it. I'm a Long Island guy. Everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. Gotta love all the guys we're talking about. Two of the three top heel contenders are guys from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy's whole gimmick is I'm from Long Island. Okay.
I mean, honestly, Dan, you could be in the conversation for heel of the year.
Oh,
another guy from Long Island. So there's three guys.
Yeah.
Heels of the year, Long Island.
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't get any, I mean, you literally told an entire group of people that they were virgins and that they should all eat a dick salad. I mean, it doesn't get more heel than that, people. And, you know, sometimes when you're from Long Island, that's what you get.
I love that for me. I love that for us. I thank you for that. That's a huge accolade for me. Yeah. A potential non-trophy. But look, so I went to see GCW, okay? And I'm going to tie this back to Cardona, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was definitely a great show. I have some thoughts, you know? I have some thoughts. And it's not really like a criticism on GCW. It's kind of just a comment about indie wrestling in general. Is that I've been to like PWG for years now, you know what I mean? And I've watched a lot of indies. I see a lot of the same guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to feel a little bit like the indie scenes is becoming extremely, extremely spot festy. Okay. Not becoming, it's been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting to me that a guy like Cardona can come in and dominate in the way he does. And he's so WWE trained, you know, and he's so the opposite. And he has a classic wrestling look to him, you know. And to me, I'm like, there's such an opportunity for these indie guys to step up the way that like MJF did. There's this huge hole of like, here's how you get over. And you don't need to do spot fest. You don't need to be another fucking Ricochet, you know? And everyone's just becoming like this version of Ricochet, you know?
I don't think so.
By the way, I'm going to take that back. Not every wrestler. It's frustrating to me to see these guys who think that, oh, that's all I'm going to do. Like, I watched, there was one match at GCW, was like, what? Deppin versus the other guy.
Yeah.
And the match was great. Look, these matches are great. But to me, it was like, I was there, I was like, I started zoning out. I was like, this is a little choreographed. You know, it's a little too choreographed for me that close up. And not that I'm like anti that. Like, I think it's all different styles of wrestling. But I'm like, man, you're in front of a crowd right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Get on the fucking microphone, like find a way to get some fucking heat. That's not just a spot. That's what I think. I think
fair
like
enough.
Develop more of a personality. A lot of guys have like very bland gear. It's a lot of you know what I mean. Like a lot of there's such a gets makes me have the itch to just get in there because I just feel like there's such an obvious way to get over. You know.
Yeah.
But I understand it. Like, as a performer, you're like, I want to keep this crowd entertained. I want to pop them. But at the same time, man, like, if you remember guys like when, like, Skrull was coming up, I don't know what his deal is now. I don't follow any of that shit. I have no idea. But, like, he would do something different, and he was, like, the highest selling t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was only my comment, which is, like, it's so interesting to me that, like, Cardona is the most over guy. And he was, like, not that big of a deal in WWE, you know?
Yeah, I think it's easy for a guy like Cardona to get over in that way. And he picked his lane and he picked the right one too. And now with him saying that he quits, it's going to be fun to see. Like, I mean, there's so much opportunity out there now. Like I see him like staying in that kind of lane too, where it's hopping around from different, like he could just show up at any promotion. And he's a huge draw, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to give Cardona shit now. And I think that's the thing that when you're in that kind of lane, you're kind of dominating. Like, when you show up and the fun thing is to give that wrestler shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's a great space to exist in. Like, people are coming because they just can't wait to fucking give Matt Cardona a middle finger. It's the same thing with, like, Nick Gage. When you're at a Nick Gage match, you're like, most of the people are running towards the entrance because they want to be part of the fucking mosh pit now. You know, like, it's about that. Like, and I think you're right in terms of gimmick wise, there's stuff lacking, but I think that's all going to change. Like, you're seeing it's a big difference, and it's at a different state than where it was a year or two ago now.
Yeah.
And I think now people are starting to realize it, and they see it. It's like the work rate is incredible in the indie scene right now.
The work rate is
top notch, but they can get away with being more work ready because and less gimmicky because people are, you're not seeing them consistently on TV every week, right. You know, like you're going and seeing them at different locations, you know? So it doesn't have to be really the focus on that. It's got to be making those moments that it are, you know, don't exist on a weekly basis on TV.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, there's going to be guys who are like guys like, you know, like Blake Christian. I was excited to see him wrestle because I think he got signed with NXT and then let go.
Yeah. Yeah. Like nothing.
Yeah. He like did nothing there, but he's very talented guy. But if I'm like another guy, I'm like, oh, you got to compete with how acrobatic that dude is. You got to get on the fucking microphone or find yourself some kind of a gimmick, you know? And, I don't know. That was just my thought about the indie scene. So I was sitting there and I was a little bit like, I've seen this show a million times. I want someone to come out and try something different. And that was Cardona, interesting enough. So that was it. Also, I mean, that being said, show was dope. That's my first time seeing the Briscoes wrestle live. And so I was excited to see those maniacs. Tons of fucking blood on that show. If GCW comes to your city, and they're touring a bunch, but they're kind of just doing like the major cities, I think. They're worth checking out. A great time. Yeah. Anyway,
I can never find
Tulo's back.
My vape ever.
Trying to vape up?
Oh, man. Phil, do you have that problem? Like, I am always looking for my vape.
I lose it every day.
Every day. Yeah. Did you just see that? That
Yo, put a tile on your vape.
Yo, did you just see what I was just doing? I walked into every room multiple times. Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? Finally. Oh, I remember where it is.
Tulo, I wouldn't want you to not have your vape. It's very important.
Can I just say something to you, Tulo, actually?
Yes.
Do it.
How old are you? You're 37, 38?
I'm going to be 37 in January. All
right. So you, like, at 37 years old, you decided to get a nicotine dependency?
It's always been around. It goes in and out.
Oh, why? Are you vaping nicotine right now?
Yes.
Did you smoke
cigarettes? Because, like, I started smoking cigarettes when I was 15, right? So, like, if you if you pick up a nicotine dependency like in your 20s or 30s, like what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's only one response to this.
I also like to live life
dangerously.
The best ones Phil gave me. Phil gave me a piece of nicotine gum at AEW, and I was like,
he was tripping, bro. He was like, he's having an ayahuasca trip from the piece of nicotine gum.
I love that. All right, back
I was
to
raging.
Wait, why? Wait, because nicotine gets you like. I don't even know much about nicotine, but
buzzing off of it big time. Yeah, big time.
Well, this is what Tulo's doing to himself. You know what can we say? You know,
life, man. Thanks, Phil, for that. By the way.
All
right, I'll stop smoking it.
Danny. Sammy Guevara confirmed broke up with his fiance. Not that
I mean, well, Dan, hold on. We got to talk about this because you like just like off the cuff mentioned him and
Tay Conti,
like they were dating, and Danny,
yeah,
and I was like, oh, maybe they are. That's crazy. And it's short, like from the pictures that we were seeing, I'm like, yeah, it's leaning towards. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait, didn't he get engaged on Dynamite one night?
In August, I looked this up. In August, he got engaged on AEW television. And then...
Yes.
And another fun fact that I looked up is that his... I mean, I don't know why I'm getting into this. I barely care about this, but his wife, his fiance was of Brazilian descent as well. So is Tay. Mm. That's an interesting thing. And then, no, this came from Tony Shadman, who is messaging me incessantly about this. He's following it closely. And so that's how I got caught wind of it.
Oh,
you know?
Tony. Yeah.
Tony Shad was keeping close tabs on this, and he was right, because I guess in his vlog, she like stopped showing up in the vlog. That's what everyone noticed.
Oh.
Yeah. Because Sammy keeps his vlog like very up to date, you know?
Yes.
Anyway, that being said, Sammy Guevara, Christmas Day Rampage versus none other than Mr. Cody Rhodes.
Was that Cody Rhodes fucking microphone exchange thing with him and Lambert?
It was just like, I was upset that Lambert was coming back. Like, he's pretty good, but it was like he already got like defeated, you know?
Yeah.
He's just kind of coming back. I don't like when guys come back and then they don't change from a big defeat or something like that, or like you don't feel like, you just feel like they just jump back into it or something. I want something like, I don't know, some kind of difference in him, whatever. The other thing is, Cody, he's got to stop doing the full entrance just to come cut promos.
I could not believe it. I could not. In a so cutoff ridiculous. Hoodie. Like, it's if so you're going to come out and do the full entrance, you can't come out in a cutoff hoodie. Stop it. Like, this is so ridiculous. Like, if you're going to do it, come out in you have to, like, come out in full gear. Like, you can't be coming out in a cutoff hoodie. That it's just such a fucking, God, that makes me want to hate him even more, you know?
Right.
Lights go out, of course, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I don't like it personally. I love his entrance, but when he enters, it's such a weird feeling. And by the way, it's going to continue to give him heel heat if he keeps doing that, which, by the way, he probably is okay with. I don't know. Who knows? Everything you hear is different. Like, you're always like, what?
It's just so crazy. It's like out of control. Like, I could not believe I was sitting there the whole time like, I cannot believe this motherfucker is coming out in this full fucking entrance right now. Like, you're not even wrestling, bro. And then the here. No. Here.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's driving him nuts that he's getting booed, you know?
Yeah. I think he also kind of
he's booking himself on the show so much now, too, you know?
Yeah, he's.
But it's not going to help him to wrestle Sammy, who's a massive baby, you know?
I mean, Sammy looks incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, he's getting jacked up.
He's really getting over, too. He looks good with that title on. I'm pumped for it.
The TBS championship, women's championship, is going down to Thunder Rosa versus Jade. It's Soho versus Nyla. It's a pretty fun Final Four.
Incredible Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big... You look at those four, and you're like, man, this division is stacked, huh? Like,
yeah, it's very fun.
That's fun. That's a fun division. And they all have their own unique gimmicks. And any one of them can be the TBS champion, which is the cool part, you know?
It's clearly going to be Jade, right?
I mean, it has to be Jade. It has to be Jade. I mean, it doesn't have to be Jade. I always do this with the AEW women's division. Yeah. And I know, I got to check myself a little bit. But I always
before
do this.
Before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, but you got to check myself before I wreck myself. And it can easily be Thunder Rosa. Like, no problem.
Thunder Rosa would have to beat Jade, though. The way they have this set up, if it was Jade, if Thunder Rosa was in the other side of the bracket, I could see them going Thunder Rosa over Jade.
Yeah.
But I can't see Thunder Rosa being Jade in the semis, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting because
it's probably
going to
be Ruby versus Jade in the finals, is what I think.
Yeah.
Right?
No way you can have Ruby beat Jade either. It just can't happen.
No. It would just be stupid. It's like taking a WWE talent.
I would be interested to see. I think the best match would be Jade versus Nyla. I think that would be an awesome match to see. And if Jade can take down Nyla, that's former AEW champ. Like, I think that's a really great way to really propel that woman's TBS championship.
Well, yeah, they've definitely positioned these brackets in an interesting way because Thunder Rosa can lose to Jade, but then like it could be a dope match, and then you're like, want to see that rematch. So that's what's smart about it.
Mm.
And then Nyla's not going to touch Jade, so then you have that looming. So it's kind of smart. It's kind of smart booking. The AEW setting themselves up like they're in a really nice spot going into 2022.
Sweet spot.
You know, like, because you set up like this TBS title, and then now you're gonna have this fun Cody match. Sammy will probably go over Cody, but then you're going in with already have this essentially three guys at the top, which we talked a lot on the bonus episode, Daniel Bryanson. That's what I'm gonna be calling him from now on, Daniel Bryanson and Omega and. And Cowboy at the top of the card, you know, you're pumped.
Dan against Bryan Danielson is the match of the century.
Daniel Bryan's son.
Dude.
Yeah, but
I mean,
Adam Cole is like primed to just pop at any second. You know,
here's an interesting thing: we have
Cole Sammy Guevara feud could be a cool thing to do in 2022.
Incredible.
You know what I mean?
Here's an interesting thing that's happening on January 8th. We have Battle of the Champions, so all titles will be on the line. So we're gonna have a TBS title, a TNT title, men's champion, women's champion, and tag team titles all on the line. I am here for that pay-per-view, and that's right after the TBS champion.
Oh, it's Battle of the Belts. That's what it's
called.
Wait. So do we have what Cowboys match? Do we know what that is? Is that just a Daniel Bryan rematch?
No. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
What is on this card? I guess we don't know yet, but that's January 8th. That's pretty soon.
Yeah. Right after the debut.
That's pretty fucking fun.
Yeah.
I love that they're just calling it a belt as just kind of a fuck you to WWE's like whole like we call it a title thing.
Yeah.
They're just like, nah, it's fine. It's fine being a belt.
Yeah, it could be a belt. It's fine.
It's just a belt. Do we know when Punk MJF are fighting?
No.
We don't. I mean, we don't know when they're getting these hands.
I would have to think that it's probably going to happen on the debut of TBS, maybe.
That's or is that AW too far away? That you never know when shit's going to go down.
Yeah, because it can either happen next week or it can happen in 2 weeks.
Right.
And both ways are fine.
Yo, where do you think the sky is for Trent Elox, by the way? where do you see a potential for Trent? I always think he's an interesting talent. Do you think he could be a heavyweight guy?
No.
He's
not on levels of like Omega and
he's like
Mox
Jack
and
a
guys.
Pretty good wrestler, but I'm always like I guess I always thought he was gonna at some point go a little further. But I mean that injury didn't help him, I'm sure.
Yeah, that didn't help him. I mean, boy was he they were taking bumps all over the place in that match, huh? That match was sick.
Oh, that match was great. Every episode of the show has like one of these matches. Like, what was that? A triple threat? That was the super click.
It was Rocky
threat. Romero.
It was eight man tag.
Yeah. That was the eight man tag and Rocky Romero, right? Cassidy in the box. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That and Bobby Fish with the super click.
Yes.
Yeah, that was sick. We have to address this. This was on my list here. Apparently, I had brought up the time limit was my big thing with the match.
Oh, right. Yes.
And you apparently, which I didn't even know when I was at, and I was at the pay-per-view or whatever, the Arthur Ashe.
You knew. You just forgot that you knew.
Bro, I'm not sure that I knew. I really am not sure that I knew. I really thought that was the title on the line. You knew that match, the Daniel Bryan Kenny Omega match, was not.
I remember it. Yeah, I remember going into it like knowing that it wasn't, because I remember that was like the big thing, that because Daniel Bryan was like, it doesn't even have to be for the title. He's like, I just want to wrestle you.
Well, let's track this because this is dope. Like, if that's how it is, it's like title matches are an hour,
yeah,
and then non-titles are 30.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Although
I'm into that.
How do? Sometimes 20-minute time limits. Yeah. That whatever. That's fine. It's like, oh, this one's more fucking. This is bigger time. You know what I mean? I'm fine with that. You know,
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but I'm glad that they had a. I was happy to see a justification for that shit. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I dig that. Yeah, I mean, I man,
just us being brain dead and not even realizing.
I'm telling you, I sat in those seats and I thought it was for the title. Because I remember him being like, yo, you don't deserve it, but he gave it to him anyway, he accepted it. But I don't remember being, I'll give it to you, but it's non-title. I don't remember that at all. I don't know.
It was more him, it was more Bryan Danielson suggesting it.
Right.
That they do it that way.
Okay. What's going on with Britt Baker?
What's going on with her?
What's going on with Britt Baker? Do we know what the fuck's... I can't even like think of a segment she did recently. Too busy talking about motherfucking Dante Martin.
Yeah.
Any updated MJF? Is he hurt?
Oh, Britt Baker has a something coming up. She's doing a Christmas holiday party bit on Wednesday, I think, or maybe on the Christmas Bash show. I'm not sure. I combined all the names of the shows together. Now it's the Christmas Bash. I think it's New Year's Bash.
Bash at the Reef. At the Wreath? The Wreath? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That could be fun. I like that.
Bash at the Wreath.
The Bash Bash at the Wreath. what? I'm like, do we have any update? Here's the other thing I was looking up. Do we have any update on Charlotte and Andrade?
It's interesting you say that because I was on Andrade posted something like he was somewhere and he had his pant, one of his legs and somebody else's leg in it. And I couldn't tell if it was two dudes' legs or a guy and a girl's leg. So I was like, I wonder if that. And then I looked a little deeper into their profile. I can't believe this is what I do. And I saw they still had pictures up of each other on there. But they're
what
like,
you do?
Yeah, scroll back a little. Yeah. You know. This is what we got to do, man. Like, you know, I got to know these things. It's important.
We need to know this stuff. We were doing this while you were at Hamilton?
Yeah. I did it because I was trying to find out about their union. And the hope that they will find.
Do we have any update on Bray Wyatt signing? This is the stuff I'm looking at going into this year. Do we know?
I haven't heard anything about Bray Wyatt recently.
Me either. I know he's filming. He was filming the movie. Here we go. One day ago, I'm looking for latest. What is this from? This is Bleacher Report. Latest rumors on Bray Wyatt's.
Here we go. Here we go.
There's reportedly some interest from the WWE.
We're in the sheets, baby.
Oh, they're saying he's a no. I'm deep in the sheets right now. We're digging the sheets right now.
Where the sheets at?
Okay, so it's looking like they're saying that, I mean, this is according to Meltzer, so take it with a grain of Meltzer, but is that WB, AEW, and Impact, they all have interest in him. WB again. But they're saying he's not in a hurry to sign. Is what's going on. He's focused
he's filming
on his
movie
project,
right?
He doesn't want to come back to wrestling so soon, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a quote. Does not want to come back to wrestling so soon. But that's a quote from the Observer. So, you know. But I would guess I this is like so exciting to me because Bray is such a talent that like I love the fact that he is exploring other options outside of wrestling because he's such a big talent. Like, he doesn't need to necessarily come back, and the more time he takes is, I think, is better for him. You know, like, it's like better for him.
His return has to be kept very quiet and has to be a surprise, like, big time.
Yeah, it seems like he was working his ass off, too, with all these gimmicks for so long. It's like, and he has to cook up. He's very conceptual, so the stuff he does is, like, he needs more time to, like, think that up and have a great idea, really, probably. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't really just... He does, like, you know, big swings. So another thing is Jeff Hardy apparently is just saying, like, he's had, like, a rough time. But he apparently, like, him and Matt, they're saying he's, like, fine. Like, WWE wanted him to get...
Matt's been teasing that Jeff's coming.
Yeah, he said extreme. You think, I mean, yes. They have to, they got to take Jeff in AEW.
That's all
right?
It takes. Yeah, he said extreme. So that means Jeff is coming.
That means Jeff's coming. He said extreme. He said the future is looking extreme. Oh man. I mean, Matt Hardy's been a dud in late, right? In AEW, you know.
Yeah, I think they pulled back away from his stuff, but that could have everything to do with Jeff coming. So.
Yeah, well, they're just waiting. I mean, they'll probably just do a broken thing again with him, and people will pop for it. They just got to give it like a year rest, you know.
Yeah,
you could do something like that. That'd be fun.
Deep breath off of it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, a lot of shit to fucking enjoy going into the end of the fucking year here. I mean, you have day one, which is nice. I'm not going to probably, I'm going to be in Hawaii, so I don't know if I'm going to watch it. But it looks pay-per-view. The card is pretty fucking good.
It's nice to be able to, on a Saturday, after enjoying some time, possibly, maybe not because of COVID, with your family, maybe via Zoom. You're doing the Zoom thing again this year. But it's nice to just be like, you're always looking for something to watch, but you got AEW on Christmas Day. You're gonna have fucking Rampage on Christmas, New Year's Eve. You have WWE on New Year's Day. It's nice.
They have a fight four way going on.
In a fight four way, you're gonna cuddle up around your electronic fireplace. You know, put a Yule log on.
There is a fight four way going on. It's Big E, Seth Rollins, KO, and Bobby Lashley was added to this match. Which the Lashley add on is annoying. To this match,
it's crazy because that went from being Big E versus Seth, and then Big E, or then KO, and then Lashley. So I don't
know. I love the triple threat of KO, Seth. Like the Lashley just makes it more jabron zone. But this card, then it's, you know, it's Roman Brock. I mean, Roman Brock's always Roman Brock. It's always like a big fucking deal. Edge Miz is a fucking cool match, whether you like it or not. That'll be cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So anyway, a lot of fun stuff to round out the year. The interesting thing going into next year will be what I'm most curious about is how people's feelings are towards Mania. And like, if I'm AEW, I start kicking it. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to go into what they have their pay-per-view in March, right? Revolution. Mm-hmm. I mean, that card is inevitably going to be sick, you know?
Yeah. And then Revolution's going to rule.
It's awesome.
I will say, man, did AEW end off Rampage the weirdest way ever. That just was a hot mess, dude. You remember the early days of AEW? They could never do a sneak attack scene good and end it off properly. That was just fucking awful.
Wait,
so
bad. What happened then?
Eddie took the loss from Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia. And then they were looking like they were going to hit him with the boombox, and it seemed like they were waiting for someone to come out, but they never hit the music. So they hit Eddie with the boombox, and then fucking Jurassic Express comes out, and it was just sloppy all over the place, and then somebody else comes.
I saw Rampage. I was watching Rampage before I went to GCW. Then I finished it when I got back, tired as fuck. But they're going, it seems like with Eddie, they're going for like a losing streak routine, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll probably build them back up at some point, you know. But, you know, they're trying to get over guys like Daniel Garcia or whatever. So, I don't know. Daniel Garcia guy's not, one of my guys at all. But we'll see where they're going with him, you know. Well, I don't know.
Like a nice, young, up-and-coming talent, you know.
Yes. Anyway, let's get the F out of here. My mom's texting me about TV shows that she's watching. She's watching something with Kevin Hart right now. She wants me to know.
Oh, that, yeah, like that. Thriller? Is it a thriller?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Fucking who cares?
All right, everybody. We'll be back after Dynamite this week, which should be fun for a bonus episode on patreon.com/meaninteresting. Support the podcast. Give us a couple bucks.
Maybe a little Dynamite. Maybe we do a little Dynamite.
We could do a Dynamite. I'm probably around for a Dynamite. You guys let me know. We'll text about it. Maybe we'll do a Dynamite episode. Or we'll just do a Dynamite and record separate. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But hey, everybody, my dudes, everybody stay safe. COVID's kicking up. Be safe. Wear your masks. Get boosted. All that shit. Or don't if you're not into it. I don't know. What do you want from me at this point? But I think you should. And everybody, cheers up. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.